thank the Lord tonight. Hey, I want to teach you how to pray. You can be seated for just a second. Last year, as we gathered for Fresh Wind, we would I would start each time by teaching you to pray, P-R-A-Y, right? To pause for a moment and just be still, and then to reflect on a psalm, and then to ask, and then to yield. And so as we're beginning this new year of Fresh Wind, this is our first time, and welcome to all of you. Before we get into the Word, and we're going to learn the Word and then pray the Word, I just want to teach you a new way to pray, maybe a little bit different, but from right where you are right now, would you just pray this way? I want you to put your hands up like this right here. We're just going to use our hands for just a moment as if to say, God, I just want to praise you. If your team scored a touchdown, you'd be like, what? Touchdown, right? We're celebrating, we're high-fiving. God, we just praise you. Just hands up. God, I just bless you right now. I just bless you. I praise you. You're the one I love. You're the one I choose. In my weakness, you're strong. God, I bless you, God. You're doing it, Jesus. You're doing it. I just call upon your name. I bless you tonight. I bless you. I praise you. God, you're worth everything. Now you just put your hands down like this, like you're going to drop something on the floor and just say, God, I'm going to lay something down right now. What do you need to lay down? What burdens you bring in here? What's troubling you? What person, pain, problem, issue? Would you just, with open hands, God, I'm just dropping it at your feet right now. I lay it down. Name it what it is. Call it what it is. Call it by name as specifically as you can. My fear, my anxiety, my worry about my son, daughter, cousin, whatever that is, God, my stressing over money, I lay it down. God, I lay it down at the feet of you who can handle all things, God. I lay it down. And now just turn your hands over like you're going to catch a punt. Right? You're going to catch something. Somebody's dropping something in your hands. Would you just say, God, would you just fill me tonight with your love and grace? God, fill me with faith. Fill me with hope. God, I want whatever you have for me tonight. I want all of it. And so I receive it. And Lord, that's our prayer. Just teach us in the simplest ways to learn how to pray and how to bless you. And so we praise you, God. You're worthy of it. God, I feel like every song we sang tonight was for me, just to express to you what's really been in my heart. Thank you, God. Praise you. You are worthy. God, we bless you. We bless you. God, we lay down our burdens, believing that you care for us. Your word says, cast all your anxiety upon you, all my anxiety upon you, God, because you care for me. So Lord, we lay our burdens down, our people, our pains, our problems, all those things. God, we lay them down at your feet. And God, with hands open now, we say, Lord, would you fill us with a peace that we can't explain and don't understand? Can't even explain it to our friends, how we have peace in the midst of what we're going through. But God, you're our peace speaker. You're our way maker. So we receive it, Lord, tonight. We receive that grace right now. And Lord, we receive right now. God, I pray, even as I think it's Ephesians 1 talks about, God, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Would you just ask God to give you that right now? Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you? We're going to open God's word, and the Holy Spirit's the only one who can help you understand that and use it. So just pray, Holy Spirit, I just receive tonight a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. God, that is our prayer tonight. Lead us now. Speak, Father. Be glorified in our midst. Answer our prayers for your glory, for our good. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Well, so glad you're here tonight. We're going to learn to pray. How many of you know it's important to know who you're talking to? Y'all ever realize that? Sometimes it's important to know who am I talking to? Y'all seen that show Undercover Boss? That's kind of a crazy show. Undercover Boss, they don't even know they're talking to the boss. It would really help if I'd have known that was a boss before I said all that, right? It's important to know who you're talking to. Sometimes it's important to know who the person you're talking to, what are they capable of? How many of y'all call, you know, you call the pharmacy, or you call, you know, your cable company, or, you know, your insurance company, and they want to give you automated stuff the whole time, and you're frustrated, and you just say, representative. Anybody here impatient like that? Yeah, I've got to pray for all of y'all. Y'all are my P28 now, right? Because we get that way, right? We're really impatient. And finally, you get somebody on the phone at the help desk, and you realize quickly they're no help at all. And y'all know what I'm talking about? And you realize quickly they can't do anything, and you are just furious with, you know, trying to tell them what you need, and they're just so sorry, but that's not going to happen. They're not going to happen. So you're like, hey, give me your supervisor, all right? So I won't ask you to raise hands, but I know there's some of y'all. Y'all are that, give me your supervisor guy, right? We can be that way. You need to know, hey, I need to know, can you do anything to help me? But if you can get to the right person, they can help you, then you can ask anything, right? I've got a friend who was a part of our church years ago, who's now a basketball coach at University of Alabama, Birmingham. And he texted me out of the blue a couple of weeks ago, and I've been promising him I'm gonna come watch his team play, and I haven't done it in like a couple of years. But I just said, dude, I wanna come watch your team play. And he's like, come on. And so I'm gonna go tomorrow night. Christy and I, after work, gonna drive over to Birmingham, and we're gonna go watch them play. Now, the problem is they're playing a top 20 team, and it's really, really hard to get tickets for this game. So, who do you think I called? I hate to flex on y'all, but y'all know where this is going, right? I didn't call Ticketmaster, and I didn't call the ticket office. I hit my buddy AK up and said, bruh, any chance? And man, he's taking care of me. You know, it matters who you're talking to and what are they capable of. Now here's what we're gonna do. Over the next 11 months now, as we work our way through the year, we're gonna study the names of God when we come in here. Because I think it's important for you to know who you're talking to. And I think it's really, really important for you to know what he's capable of whenever you ask. Okay, so tonight we're gonna be in Genesis 1:1. Isn't that a good place to start? We're gonna learn tonight about the name of God, and that name is Elohim. It's the word that is generically used most of the time as God in the Old Testament. Rarely, but sometimes, listen to me real quick. Rarely, but sometimes this word is used to talk of little g gods, right, spiritual forces. At least once or twice, maybe about angels, even in one of the Psalms, depending on how you interpret it, even about people, because we're spiritual beings. And yet, in early on in the scripture, Moses declared two things about God and little g gods. The first one is that our God is the supreme God. Check this out on the screen, Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is the God of gods. Do you see that? And there are some spiritual forces out there, but your God, our God, the God of the Bible is the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He's the great, the mighty, the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. So there are lots of spiritual forces out there, but we're talking to God who's over all of them. Second thing you need to know that Moses taught is you don't need to have any other gods but that one God. First commandment, 10 commandments. The first commandment is have no other gods beside me. All right, so God is saying, I am supreme and I wanna be exclusive in your life. Of all the spiritual things, I am the supreme one, the one true and living God. That's who we worship. Now from Genesis forward in the scripture, God reveals himself by a lot of other more specific names, but the first one to appear in the Bible is the one we're talking about tonight, Elohim. And it comes from a root that just simply means unlimited strength and power, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. Now here's the curious thing about Elohim. It's a plural noun. It's a plural noun. So it says, gods? Yes. And it always uses a singular verb. What's up with that? How can you have a plural noun and yet it always requires a singular verb? Look, I'm not real smart in English, but I think it's supposed to be subject-verb agreement. Isn't that what we used to call it? Come on, somebody help me, senior girls. Doesn't have to be subject-verb agreement. It's supposed to be agreeing in number. And so how is it that Elohim requires a single A singular verb? Here's why. Some people call it the plural of majesty. This is what we know, that our God is Father, Son, and Spirit. He's not three different gods. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. All right, he's one God. So how does that work? Well, the Bible tells us we're created in God's image, right? And just like we're body, soul, and spirit, God is Father, Son, and Spirit. You're one body with three parts, or you're one person with three parts. God is three persons, but one God. It's a mystery. I can't explain it past that. Good luck if you want to go figure it out. But somehow he is the three-in-one God. And this three-in-one, all-powerful God of all gods, God revealed himself. For the very first time that he reveals himself in the Bible is in Genesis 1:1, and he reveals himself as Elohim. So I want us to dig into this name a little bit tonight so that as you're praying by the end of this service, that you have, listen to me, I want you to have more confidence as a prayer. All right, so all you young men right there, you may be here because your friend showed up and drug you up in here, but you can pray. And I don't mean pray a little bit, I mean you can pray. And you can have a holy roar whenever you pray that moves heaven and shakes the earth. And so you may not have very much confidence before you got here, but tonight you're gonna learn who you're talking to and what he's capable of. It's not in you, it's in him. And you're gonna have more confidence to pray for more specific things with more faith and expectancy maybe than you've ever had, and maybe even begin to pray differently than you ever have. And so let's dig into this name, God, Elohim. Genesis 1:1 says this, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. How many of y'all heard that before? Y'all heard this Bible verse before? Y'all could memorize that one, shouldn't you? I mean, you're like into scripture memory too. Y'all are killing it already in P28. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me tell you, it tells me three things as I look at this name of God. It tells me three things about God. First thing is, God created everything. All right, everything after Genesis 1:1, God created. God created the heavens and the earth. He made it. He created it as special. And that word has a specific context. It means God created it out of nothing. He didn't have any help. Everything that God created was God's idea and it was God's work. And as you read Genesis 1 and 2, listen to me, when you read Genesis 1 and 2, the creation accounts, the point is not so much how he did it, but who did it. What the Bible's trying to tell you is God did this. We can argue about how he did it if you want to, but that's really not the point. The point is God did it. God made the heaven and the earth. Whatever is in this world was made by the hand and creative force of God. As a matter of fact, Paul declared that you can learn a lot about God just by looking around at creation. Look at Romans 1:19 on the screen. Because that which is born, which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. God reveals himself in nature. I've heard plenty of men say, well, preacher, I'd love to come to church, but I just meet God out there on the water fishing on Sunday mornings. How many of y'all heard that one before, right? And that is probably true. I don't think it's a substitute for coming to church. You ain't gonna catch no fish. But God does reveal himself and his invisible attributes and power in nature through a sunrise. God is powerful like a storm over the ocean. He's vast like and unlimited like space. He's original and creative. Just consider the numbers of colors all around and the species of animals. God's consistent. Think about the seasons, season in, season out. He's faithful. As far as I know, the sun pretty much still comes up every single day. God loves to renew things. Think about a forest that's been burned, and yet you come back in the springtime, it'll be lush and green. Think about the human eye and the systems of our body. God is extremely smart and irreducibly complex. Now, my question is, do you agree with that in your heart? Do you believe God made everything? Okay. This is the first name he wants you to know. He wants you to know before anything else, before you start worrying about how God does this, that, start with, did God make it? He made it. And when you read about this word Elohim, it also declares that God owns it still. He didn't just create it and leave it alone. He owns it. Look at Psalm 89, verse 11. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you founded them. You made it, God, you still own it. The heavens and the earth. That means God owns all the oxygen there is. God owns all the natural resources there are. God owns all the money that exists. My mom used to say he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. That was one of her favorite verses, right? Sometimes we needed him to kill a cow, you know, give us some food, right? So that means you don't own it. Please hear that. You don't own it. I don't own it. Whatever we have is on loan from God. God still owns it. It's his. We get to enjoy it. We get to manage it, steward it. But who owns it? God does. It really belongs to him. God owns all the people too. We're his creation. And listen, your life and the life of the person maybe that you're praying for, it's in his hands. Y'all remember in the book of Acts when Paul was, he goes to a place called Athens in Greece, and he's walking around, and he's looking at all the idols. And I mean, there's idols for everything and all the Greek gods. I mean, their name. Then they got, there's one last one down on the end. It says, and to the unknown God. Y'all remember this one, this story where they're so spiritual, but they're afraid they may have missed a God. So just in case that one shows up, they got his spot too. You know, didn't even know, but we already had your place. That's kind of the idea. So Paul's walking around. He goes, man, I want to tell y'all about that God right there. And in Acts 17, 24, this is what he says. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far away from each of us. For in him we live and we move and we exist, as even some of your poets have said, for we also are his children. Here's what I want you to glean from that. You were made by God and for God. All right, so if you're really wrestling with your sense of worth and value, God says, I made you and I made you for me. You were made for relationship with God. You were made for the glory of God, and ultimately God possesses you. He wants you to be his person, and you are, but some of you are fighting that. I don't want you to get me, God. I want to do my own thing. How do you think that's going to end up? Stop fighting. Stop fighting that and surrender that, God. You own me too. I'm yours. For some of you, you're here tonight and you need to know that if you really begin to pray to the God who made it all and owns it all, that could shape and shift the way you're praying for yourself or for somebody else. It could shape the way you approach God. He's not mad at you. He's not broken off at you. He's not like, get out of here. I don't want to hear from you. He's like, come here to me. Come here to me. Talk to me. He loves you. He welcomes you. And if you own something, what can you do with it? If it's yours, what can you do with it? Well, you pretty much do whatever you want to do with it, right? And so God not only made you and not only owns you, but here's the third thing. Elohim, God, controls you. He controls everything. He made everything, owns everything. He controls everything. Romans 8:28, Paul said, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Please hear, that does not mean God causes everything to happen. That's not what he's saying. But he does say that God works in everything that happens, the good and the bad, and God somehow sovereignly superintends it, and he turns it, works it all out in the end for his glory and for our good. But because God can control things, sometimes he does cause things to happen. If he created all things, could he split the sea or walk on it? Come on, work with me for a second. Think with me. If God made the water, what would it be to God to split the water or walk on the water? If God made the lions, how hard would it be for him to say, you're not going to eat my man, Daniel, up. I'm shutting the lion's mouth. How hard would it be if he made the fire to quench the fire, to turn water into wine, to multiply fishes and loaves, make a virgin give birth? If he made the mountain, doesn't it make sense that he could make the mountain move? If he created every person and spiritual being, doesn't it make sense that he could heal the sick, make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, turn our hearts like water in his hand and tell demons to go to hell? If he created life, couldn't he raise you back to life, even from the dead? If you believe God created it all and owns it all, that's really not that hard to believe. He can control it all and intervene in all things and do anything under the sun. He can do anything, even with the sun. If you've read this book, sun stand still, back up. Come on, can anybody in here say amen? You know what I'm saying? We're talking about building a faith in Elohim. I know who I'm talking to now. I know what he's capable of. He made it all. He owns it all. He can control it all. Now, if that's true, let's apply it into some specific areas of our life. Number one, if God created it all, owns it all, and controls it all, that means whatever spiritual battle you're going through right now, whatever fight you're in right now, some of you are fighting very dark forces. And this is your P28. And it can manifest. Listen, that spiritual fight can manifest in humans or in habits.
Spiritual battles take the form sometimes of trials or temptations. The devil is out to get you and the people that you love, but please hear, your God is in control. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether it's thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. God is in control, and he has say-so over every spiritual force of light and darkness. He is over every king and dictator and president. And he is over every devil, demon, and dark force. And so what I want you to gain confidence in tonight is that you can draw near to God and God will draw near to you and you can resist the devil and the devil has to flee from you. James 4:7, look it up. That you have authority. Whatever is under your authority, as you're in Christ, you have authority to say in Jesus' name, I claim the power of God over this. Colossians 3:3, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where are you? You're with Christ in God right now. And so in Jesus' name, some of you need to begin to fight your battles. Take back your house. Claim that's under your authority. In my room, in my life, in this house, Jesus is gonna be spoken here. Okay, y'all with me? This is you taking spiritual authority over that under Elohim who made everything and who owns it all and controls it all. So fight your spiritual battle with confidence. With confidence. Secondly, I would say to you, God is the creator and the giver of life so he can heal you. He could heal you. Psalm 139 verse 13 reads like this. You've heard it before. For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. My niece has cancer, and it's her third recurrence of cancer, and it's stage 4, and man, we're really, really praying. She's one of my P28s. And so really, 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 really praying for her. And man, just praying that, you know, her physical health, but even just, man, spiritually and in all ways that God would meet her in the midst of that. And she was at our house recently. And a friend of ours, Kelly Cook, came over. Kelly's been a longtime friend of ours, been in small group with us for years ago. And Kelly is a cancer survivor. And so she was at the house and Kristen was there. And so Kristen finds out Kelly, you know, is a cancer survivor and Kelly's interested in Kristen. And Kristen says to Kelly, hey, what was your diagnosis? And then they went to talk in a language that honestly, if you've never been in the cancer world, you don't even know it. I'm lost. But man, they're right in there. And Kelly says, you know, my mama died of the same cancer that I overcame. And she said, what helped me, Kristen, was I started praying a Bible verse. I just started praying the Word of God, and I just started praying Psalm 139, verse 14, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. She said, Kristen, I just began to declare that my immune system, and Kelly's is a physical therapist, so she's got some understanding of medical things. And she, you know, I just started to declare that, you know, my body's physically and wonderfully made. And she said, cancer, if you just boil it down to its simplest form, it's just a failure of your immune system. So I just started praying, immune system, in Jesus' name, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You start working. You start finding all that cancer. It's trying to hide in my body, but I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Immune system, would you be smarter than my cancer? Would you start to root it out? God, I just declare that you can heal me that way. And so Kelly says, Kristen, do you mind if I just pray that for you right now? And man, she laid down the most beautiful, empathetic prayer of a cancer survivor I've ever heard. And by the end of it, I mean, just tears. I want to declare over you, you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. God made you, he owns you, and he can heal you. He does not always heal in time. Sometimes he heals in eternity. I trust that. But you need to have faith that your God can. He can do that. And would you believe also that God is willing to walk with you through the darkness if you can't see it? You're walking through something right now and it's so hard and you don't know what to do. God, who made you, who owns all things, he promises to be with you. Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servants, but check this out, that walks in darkness and has no light? What? I love God, I fear God, I obey his voice, and yet I'm walking through a darkness and there's no light? How's that possible? It happens, doesn't it? It happens. We find ourselves there at times in the darkness and we can't find light. And what does the psalmist say? Let him or her trust in the name. You're still Elohim. I still trust in the name of the Lord and I rely on his God, Elohim. I'm relying on God. This is the invitation of God tonight. If you haven't felt him in a while, you can't hear him, you can't see him in what you're walking through, you gotta trust that he's the God of revival. He can shine that light. He can bring you up and he can bring you out, but rely completely on God. Don't try to handle it, deal with it, take over it. Rely on God. Trust him in the midst of your darkness. God can handle it. God, I need you. And then would you trust God, if he's your creator, would you trust him to protect you? Trust that he can protect you. I don't know what's coming after you. I don't know what you're running from. I don't know what you feel like is coming. But listen to Isaiah 43, 1. But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. Through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your Elohim, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. What Isaiah is declaring is if God created the water, he can part the water. If God created the rivers, he can stop the flood. If God created the fire, he can keep it from burning you. And I'm convinced that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were quoting Isaiah 43, 2, whenever they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Oh, King, it don't matter. He could even stop this fire. And he does sometimes, doesn't he? God is a protector like that. He can walk you right through it. And so tonight, would you have faith in God who created everything, owns everything, and can do anything you ask? Can he do it? Come on, we sang to him beautifully earlier. God, pour it out. Pour it out, O God of revival. God, you can do all things. You can move every mountain and break every stronghold. God, you can do it. Ask him tonight to fill your heart with faith. Now, can we pray this word back to God? About your P28, about whatever that is that's in your heart right now. Can I lead you to pray to God in a way that you know who you're talking to and you know what he can do? So come on, just posture your heart right now in the room, at home. If you're listening later, wherever you are, you can pray with your eyes open if you need to. But would you just bring your heart to the Lord right now? Bring your heart to God. And would you, in faith, say, God, you've revealed yourself as my creator and the creator of everything. I think this is the starting point of faith, because if he made it, he can move it. So would you just say to God right now, God, I trust that you made the earth and everything that it contains. Whatever your P28 is, would you just say, God, you are the creative force behind that life. Or God, you're the one who owns that thing. God, you control it. Would you ask God to give you faith? Give you faith. minute, we're going to speak the name of Jesus over some stuff in a song. But right now, over your P28, would you just speak the name Elohim? You may not even know what to pray past that, but would you just say, I speak the name Elohim over this. I speak the name, and God, you handle it. This is the faith of Mary who said, be it done to me according to God's will. I don't understand how, but be it done to me according to God's will. This is the faith of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, do what you got to do, but I'm trusting in God. This is the faith of Peter, who says, God, if you tell me to get out here and walk on this water, I'm coming. You with me? Come on, ask God to grow your faith right now. For all that you don't know, there's someone that you do know, and that is Elohim. The three-in-one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the maker, the owner, the controller of everything. Would you just apply that specifically right now to a spiritual fight you're in? It may be a spiritual fight for purity of mind. It may be a spiritual fight for your sobriety. It may be a spiritual fight that you think the enemy is that guy at work or that girl at school, and it's not. Your enemy is not another person. Your enemy, we do war against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers, right? It's the enemy. So if there's division, would you just speak the name Jesus? Would you declare the name of God over it and say, God, would you fight this battle for me? If there's weakness, we sang it earlier, in my weakness, God, you be strong. I'm trying to have faith, God. Fight my battles for me spiritually. If you're praying for somebody in your life to be saved, to come to Christ, that's a spiritual fight. So pray, Holy Spirit, would you fight for my brother or my daddy or my sister or my friend? Holy Spirit, would you silence the voice of the enemy in their head? And Holy Spirit, would you reveal to them the light of your love? Come on, this is spiritual fight, spiritual reality, and God owns that. For some of you, you're praying, God, I need you to heal my body. I need you to heal my body. And that could be something as clear as a diagnosis you've had. Or something as obscure as, man, I vaccinated my child, and God, I worry and I fear what might happen. So God, I just declare, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Y'all with me? I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. God, you have ordained my days of life, and I trust you. Lord, it is a mystery. Sometimes you heal and it's miraculous, and we praise you, God. Sometimes you don't heal in time like we want, and God, that can be very heartbreaking, and it is. But Lord, either way, would you lift our view to you tonight that just says to you, God, we love you, we trust you either way. We trust you. Some of you are walking through a dark time right now, and you're really struggling to find God. And maybe it's tempting for you to want to quit, or man, the voices of discouragement are growing. And can I just tell you, you are not alone. I have walked that road. Many of your brothers and sisters have walked that road. But tonight, would you say, God, I want to rely on you. The picture is like leaning on a crutch. because your leg's broken. You put all your weight on that crutch. That's what it said. God, I'm going to put all my weight on you. I'm going to lean completely on you. Be my light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And so I speak that light over your darkness in the name of Elohim, your creator. And may you in that light see how good he is and how much he loves you. Maybe your prayer is, God, I need protection. You're walking through something financial. Somebody sued you. You're going through a lawsuit. There's a downturn at work. The economy's got things all jacked up and sideways. For whatever reason, you're just saying, God, I need protection over me. I need protection, Lord, over my son or daughter who went off to college. My family member who's deployed. Would you be a sun and a shield? Be a sun and a shield. Could you just say this to God? God, you made it all. God, you own it all. God, you're working in it all for your glory and for my good. So, Lord, would you teach us to pray to you, to know who we're talking to, and God, to know exactly what you're capable of. That, Lord, whenever we bow our heads and we call out to you, Elohim, we're talking to Father, Son, and Spirit. We're talking to God who made it all, owns it all, and can do anything. And so, Lord, would you build our faith tonight? God, we speak your name, Abba Father, that you love us, that you created us. God, you can do everything. With you, there's no shifting shadow or changing. You're the giver of every good and perfect gift, Father. We bless you. We speak your name, Spirit. You're the one who moves and nobody understands how it's happening. But God, you move, and Spirit, you shape and you transform and you give strength and you do things. Spirit, we speak your name over our lives. And Jesus, we speak your name. We speak your name, Jesus, over our school and over our house and over our church and over our community. We speak your name, Jesus, over our heartache and over our heartbreak and over our hardship, God. We speak your name, Jesus. You're more than enough, Father. You're more than enough for us. And so glorify your name tonight. Pray that tonight. We pray that tonight by the powerful name of God our Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit with us. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand together and let's declare the name Jesus over our lives tonight.